wrong, but
yeah.
For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest, God. Our God blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him, Psalm 67. Warren Wiersbe wrote this. He said, the author of this particular psalm is unknown, but it was someone who had a vision for the whole world. T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia, said this. He said, all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds awake to the day to find it was all vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for the many act out their dreams with open eyes to make it possible. Father God, speak to our hearts this morning through your word that we find in the Psalms. Father, we thank you so much for the Psalms as they're given to us as not only prayers, but as just songs of worship. Father, change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you dream at night? Probably so. Good dreams, bad dreams, strange dreams, really strange dreams. Last night, Sarah and I were driving someplace with too many people in the car, or not enough, I don't remember who was there, but we went over this kind of thing, and the car landed straight up in the mud like this, and I'm climbing out, and they're all climbing out, and Sarah's freaking out, and then I woke up. Dreams. We've probably all had kind of strange, bad, weird dreams. The best and the greatest dreams, though, involve not just ourselves, but they involve all the people of the world. We don't think only of ourselves, but rather of the whole world. This is God's kind of thinking. Since Jesus died for all mankind, God wants all people to be saved and to come from to knowledge of the truth, right? Are you a visionary? Kind of dreamer? Do you have a vision or a dream for your life, your children's lives, the whole world? We should. And it should involve God. And it should involve God's will, because that's the best and only way to live. It's the only way to be blessed by God and experience the best kind of life here on earth. It started like so many evenings. Mom and Dad at home, Jimmy playing after dinner. Mom and Dad were absorbed with their jobs, and they didn't notice what time it was. It was a full moon, and some of the light was seeping through the windows. Mom glanced at the clock. Jimmy, it's time to go to bed. Go up now, and I'll come and settle you later. Jimmy went straight upstairs to his room. An hour or so later, his mother came up to check to see if all was well. Come as no surprise to you that to her astonishment, she found that her son was staring quietly out of his window at the moonlit scenery. What are you doing, Jimmy? I'm looking at the moon, Mommy. Well, it's time to go to bed now. And as that reluctant boy settled down into his bed, he said, Mommy, you know, one day I'm going to walk on that moon. Who would have known that the boy in whom the dream was planted that night would survive a near-fatal motorcycle crash which broke almost every bone in his body and would one day bring to fruition this very dream 32 years later when James Irwin stepped on the moon's surface, one of just 12 representatives of the human race to have done so. Talk about dreams. Talk about a dreamer. I mean, few of us could dream such a great dream and then do the work to fulfill it, right? But please remember that any good and great dream can never be without the grace of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. James Irwin had a great dream. I don't know if it was a spiritual thing or not. Maybe. Maybe he thought that by walking on the moon, he could bless all mankind. Maybe. I think all of our dreams should include the idea of blessing mankind. That's why God put us on earth in the first place, not to serve ourselves, but to serve and bless others. Psalm 67, verse 1, the Bible says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us." Consider what will happen when God is gracious to us. His face will shine upon us, and his ways will be known on all the earth. We're going to look at those two things this morning. So number one, his face will shine upon us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. It is said that when Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States, he was advised to include a certain man on his cabinet. When he refused to do so, he was asked why he wouldn't accept this particular gentleman. Lincoln's response was, "I don't like his face." "But the poor man isn't responsible for his face," responded the advocate. Lincoln replied, "Every man over 40 is responsible for his face." People who laugh and smile a lot are attractive, right? People who appear serious all the time, not so much. Story goes that when Holiday Inn was looking for 500 people to fill positions at a new facility, they interviewed over 5,000 candidates. And the hotel managers interviewing those people excluded every candidate who smiled less than 4 times during the interview. And this applied to people competing for jobs at every single level of employment in Holiday Inn. Job 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "If I say I will forget my complaint, I will change my expression and smile." Folks, we need to forget our complaining and we need to try smiling. That can only be done with the Lord's help, right? Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, the Bible tells us, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like the stars in the universe." Excuse me. Job 29 and verse 24, the Bible says, "When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them." I found this little poem and I really liked it. It's called "The Value of a Smile." "It costs nothing, but creates much. It enriches those who receive without impoverishing those who give. It happens in a flash. And the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None are so rich that they can get along without it, and none so poor but are richer for its benefits. It creates happiness in the home." May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Could that mean that God's smiling at us? I mean, I would prefer to think that God's smiling at me rather than frowning at me or having an angered look at me, right? Wouldn't you? True story. A Union soldier, bitter in his hatred of the Confederacy, lay wounded at Gettysburg. At the close of that battle, General Lee, the commanding general of the Confederate Army, rode by, and the soldier, though faint from exposure and loss of blood, raised his hands, looked Lee in the face, and shouted as loudly as he could, "Hurrah for the Union!" Not sure how he'd done that. The general heard him, dismounted, went over toward him, and the soldier later recalled this. He said, "I thought he meant to kill me. But as he came up, he looked at me with such a sad expression upon his face that all fear left me. And looking right into my eyes, he said, 'My son, I hope you will soon be well. If I live 1,000 years, I shall never forget the expression on General Lee's face.'" Folks, God has looked down on all mankind and he said, "My children, I hope you will soon be well. I hope you will soon be saved." And beyond this, God smiles on us or makes his face to smile on us, to shine on us. So when does that happen? It happens when we walk with him. It happens when we trust him fully and completely. It happens when we obey him. It happens when we seek to do his will and not do our own thing in life. Number two this morning, his ways will be known. His ways will be made known on earth. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. In other words, folks, we're going to spread his word. When God's grace touches our hearts, we will make known his will and his ways and his words. We will preach the word. You and I, folks, have a ministry to perform. We must preach whether we want to or not, much like that video earlier. It's a divine command from God. It's not an option. A guy was at a church conference, and he was asked what he did for a living. And he said, and you can't make this up, he said, I'm an ordained plumber. What he meant by that, though, was that he was a plumber, but he was also ordained by God to witness for Jesus Christ. And folks, we are all, every single one of us, ordained by God to witness, whether we realize it or not. Once the gospel has reached us, it is our responsibility to share it with other people. Like someone said once, a man who has a religion is bound to do one of two things with it: change it or spread it. If it isn't true, he must give it up. If it is true, he must give it away. Folks, listen, if we truly believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have only one option. We must give it away whenever we have the opportunity. We must not be shy, and we must not be selfish with the gospel of Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody met a young man on a train once. This man was bubbling over with excitement over the prospect of going to Africa and being a missionary for Jesus Christ. So Mr. Moody asked him a very pertinent question. He said, how many souls have you brought to the Lord here at home? After a brief pause, the young man answered truthfully, I don't know of one soul that I have won. Folks, if we don't do so here, why would we do so over there? I mean, the only advantage of preaching in some foreign countries is that they're way more open to the gospel of Jesus Christ than most Americans are. It seems to me that most Americans are either Christian or else they're hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, why are they hardened? Because they don't need God. Simple as that. They have money. They have material things. They have time off from work. Why would they need God in their lives? They may not say this, but I think it's true. People have substituted the good life and everything else under the sun for God and for his son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 10, verses 5 to 7, the Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go, rather, to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 10, verses 5 to 7. This is the first commission of Jesus Christ to his disciples. They were to go only to the Jewish people, and as they went, they were to preach. Folks, we Americans are always going somewhere. All the time. We go to the mall, we go to the bank, we go to Walmart, we go to Meijer, we go to the grocery store, you name it. We're always going someplace. We go to the football games, we go to the beach, we go wherever we go. The idea in Scripture, though, is that as we go anywhere, we must preach. We must look for opportunities to preach or to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. And hear me, there's opportunities every single day. You just have to make the decision to step through that door. Sometimes the door is open that much, but if you kick it, it'll open. Sometimes the doors open that much, and we still do this. We live in a lost and dying world. People often ask me, one or two questions. What's your name? That one's easy. What do you do for a living? I used to be able to say chaplain and pastor. Now I say pastor and counselor. And it opens doors for me to tell them about this church and invite them to come. And the door might be open more easily for me than it is for you simply because of my job, but we all need to look for opportunities to speak for Jesus Christ and to speak for his church. I was at a convention in Louisville a few years back, and it was a three-day deal, and a lot of stuff going on, and it was a good convention. But the last day was a Sunday, and this was a business convention for all intents and purposes. The last meeting was Sunday morning, and it was a church service. And I stood there in this arena in Louisville and watched literally thousands of people standing there worshiping God as the gospel was preached. At a business convention. People, wherever we go, God will open doors. What do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. What do you do for a living? I'm an ordained plumber. Let me talk to you. We have to look for opportunities to speak for Jesus Christ and his church, and we need to constantly be aware of our witness to the world. This is scary. People are watching us. And if you have a Honk for Jesus sign on your car, people don't care a whole bunch about whether you honk or not, but they do care about how you drive. People are watching to see how we live in this world, how we drive, how we talk, how we live, how we work. It's funny. At work, the clients that I work with have a vocabulary that is about 75% vile, and most of that vileness is in four or five cuss words that you would all have heard at some point in your lives, and all the time, in class, in individual sessions, all the time. But it's interesting because in the group that I have, and I've never said a word about their language. They know what I do outside of there, but never said a word. Almost without fail, if one of them cusses either in my office or in our group, they will go, sorry. And it's not because I've done or said anything, but I believe it's because the presence of the Holy Spirit is in that room. And it's kind of cool. Long time ago, 1960s-ish, and no, I was not there, or I did not experience this, but true story, as far as I know, there was a checker at a Safeway store. Her name was Helen. I don't know if Helen was a Christian or not, but I want to believe that she was, because it seems, if the story is true, that she certainly acted like one. She was a hard worker, she was not a slacker, and she was very nice and helpful to everyone, customers and other employees alike. She was a shining light in that store. She smiled all the time. She was always gracious. She was always polite. She was always caring. That should be us, right? We too are to be shining lights in this dark world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always, always, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this," and I like that Peter added this, "but do this with gentleness and respect." Howard Hendricks was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he said this. He said, "In the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering. Or else we're not talking at all. I mean, just about things we want to talk about. Because folks, when we're excited about something, most of us won't shut up. There was a band in Disney World the other day, and I got a video, and you might want to see it. We won't shut up. I think that most of the time, we're far too hesitant to speak out about Jesus Christ. We forget that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. How many of you know that if you share the gospel, even a little tiny snippet of it, the word will not return void? It's in there. We don't have to change anybody's minds. We don't have to change anybody's hearts. If we're driving with a Honk for Jesus bumper sticker, drive well. If you're in a situation where you tend to get angry well. Don't even know what that means. But people are watching us. Romans 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." Folks, when we witness and present spiritual truth, God's power goes to work on the heart of the listener or on the heart of the hearer. And if that truth finds fertile soil, then it's going to begin to grow in those hearts. And hopefully in time, it will bring forth fruit and they will give their lives to Jesus Christ. But nothing can happen if we don't sow the seeds. Psalm 67, starting at verse 3, the Bible says, "May the peoples praise you, O God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God, may all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him." Do you know the result of what will happen when God makes his face shine on us and we make his word known to the world? People will come to believe in Christ, and all people will praise him, and all the nations will be blessed, and there'll be a whole much less stupidity. I wish Roger was here. A man once said to his neighbor, "Friend, you are so tight-fisted that God himself couldn't pry your hand open to put a blessing in it." And that's what's happened in our world now, I think, because I think we're worse than tight-fisted. I think we're fist-fisted. Right now, people all over the world are rioting and fighting and warring with one another. And if they would only acknowledge God is God and Christ is the Savior of the world and bow down to them, blessings would come their way. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God, may all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest, God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fill him. May God make his face shine on us, and may we make his ways known to the world so that they will come to know Jesus Christ and be blessed by him. And may God's kingdom come.